Welcome to the second episode of the Spiritual Glow Up podcast. I did a poll on my Instagram and the winning topic was relationships. So I'm going to be talking about conscious, intentional relationships, not necessarily romantic predominantly, but also family, friends, and just how you can foster and attract and maintain and get the most out of your relationships. How we handle relationships and the kind of relationships that we attract and engage in and allow and entertain in our lives are a big part of the spiritual glow up process, because when you start to recognize that inherent worth that you have, and when you start to tap into that greater sense of purpose and reason for being, you kind of develop a bit of an intolerance, in a good way, for relationships that no longer serve you. And it all of a sudden becomes very stark or very apparent where relationships that you've maybe cultivated over a longer period of time, or that you attracted into your life at a different point where you were maybe different and perhaps you've grown and that person maybe isn't growing, it becomes very, very stark, very, very apparent when you're on the spiritual journey who is no longer aligned with you and who is no longer meeting you where you are. And I do want to say this because I think it's really important as well. This isn't about being better than anybody else. This isn't about superiority, or when I say you outgrow a person, because you do, this isn't necessarily saying that you have grown to be better than them. That's not what this is about. Nobody is better than anyone else. It takes two people to make a relationship. I'm a big believer in taking full responsibility for the part that you play in a relationship, even if, you know, there's been some quote unquote toxic behavior on one side or on both sides, you know, being able to accept the part that you've played in that. And I said quote unquote toxic because I really hate the word toxic. I feel like it's been overused, it's still overused. I don't use it very frequently and I don't like it, because I certainly don't like giving any individual person the blanket definition of toxic. I think there are, again, quote, toxic behaviors, habits, patterns, beliefs. We've all got them, but we pick up those patterns and those beliefs and fall into those habits for reasons. And it's not an excuse to continue to engage in them by any means, but there's always a reason. So the person is engaging in you know, this toxic behavior, but that does not mean the person themselves are toxic. Touching on something I actually said towards the end of the last episode, there is really no good or bad. It's all perception anyway. It's what we perceive to be good or bad. We put that definition on a thing, on a circumstance, on a situation, on a material object, or in this case, on a person. So not into blanket definitions of people being toxic or not, more into whether people work together, whether people are in the same place, they're in the same container in their lives. Sometimes we are just in different places and you outgrow the container for that relationship. Rather than becoming better or more superior than the other person, sometimes you just outgrow what that relationship was here to teach you. And they may be growing at a slower pace, or it may be that they're actually not growing or growing in their own way and growing in a different direction. It's not a matter of superiority, it simply is what it is. Okay, so I suppose a good place to start here would be the actual purpose of relationships, the core. Why do they come? What are they here to teach us? Why do we engage in them? Why do we choose to cultivate romantic relationships? Not all other animals that live here on the earth choose to take relationships as seriously as we do and make them such a focal point like we do. So what is the reason for that? Why do we crave that connection? The longer I've been on this spiritual path, this spiritual journey, the less I have felt a need to rely on systems or to look outside of myself to different gurus or teachers or lineages or anything like that to explain to me how spirituality should work. I'm a vessel, you're a vessel, and that greater energy, the universe, source, moves through us. Bringing it back to relationships, I believe that the reason we crave these connections is because every other person on this earth is a vessel. They're all vessels. And in the knowing that the same source energy, the same universe, the same God that's within you is within another person, through connecting with that other person, it's like you are looking into a mirror. Other people are mirrors. They are our mirrors. So whatever you're going through, be it positive changes, emotionally intense times, whatever you're going through, any interactions you have with any other people, whether they're a romantic partner, whether they're your family or your friends, or just literally a stranger, your interaction and experience with them is a direct reflection of what is going on within you. You may have noticed sometimes you perceive the actions of another person or how you perceive them to be. That perception changes and shifts, not based on how that person is feeling, but how you are feeling and the state that you're in your life, and how secure you feel and how at peace you feel, or how emotional you feel and how stressed you feel. All of the things that are going on within you are reflected back to you from another person, because they are just a mirror. They are just a window through to the same universe, the same God, the same shit that is moving through you. Ultimately, every little human is just the universe expressing itself as a human being. So by being able to connect with other human beings, we get a higher, richer, well-rounded perspective of everything that's going on for us. When you're in something, it's so much harder to fully see and understand it than when you are outside of it and you can look at it with that bird's eye view. So you think about them relationships and having different relationships in your life and cultivating connections with other humans, is like the light turns on and all of a sudden you're in a room of mirrors and all those different angles of your situation get reflected back to you. And sometimes what you see isn't nice. This is it, you know, triggers, when other people trigger us. Again, that is a reflection and a mirror of shit that's going on within us. It's actually very, very little to do with the other person. Our responses, reactions, feelings, hurts, things that come up for us when we're maybe going through a difficult relationship, tell us far more about ourselves than they do about the other person. And that's why I think we crave connection, because we're curious and we want to find out and we want to know and we want to get deeper and we want to understand ourselves better. And relationships used in the right way are the most incredible container for that. Now, obviously, I'm talking from the spiritual perspective, but for some people, maybe when you're early on in your journey, that might be a subconscious thing that's buried. And obviously, there is another reason why people cultivate relationships from the ego perspective. And that can be for status, it can be to feel validated, to feel worthy, because you saw a movie and it made you feel something and you want to feel the same thing. The way that this human world, the material world that we've built and we've made up here, the way that it's set up, we're almost painted this picture that we need to be in a relationship, that you need to have someone, that the ultimate goal is to get married and have this beautiful romantic story. It's a narrative that's pushed, and I think things are changing, things are always evolving, but there's also been the narrative that if you're not in a relationship, it's because nobody wants to be with you, or you're not good enough to be in one, or all kinds of other negative stories around not being in a relationship. So sometimes that can make you want to be in a relationship, and that's when you're in one for the wrong reasons, right? All of that kind of stuff, the validation, the worth, not being able to be on your own. Again, things are changing, but because for a lot of us, we're not necessarily set on the spiritual path from when we're born, it can be difficult to be by yourself, you know, to sit by yourself, to actually be with your thoughts, to actually go deep and experience all of that. So sometimes the relationships can be used as a distraction. And when you're not in that place where you can recognize that the other person is a mirror for you, because a lot of people don't recognize that, that person then becomes somebody you can blame or use to make excuses for your own situation. That's something that also happens. So these are all kind of ego reasons why I feel like we'd be in a relationship, beyond the core reason that we crave that connection, which is the deeper understanding, the higher perspective, the ability to see the universe so clearly through another person's eyes. And on a sexual level, if it's a sexual connection, be able to experience the universe in that kind of way. But all of this leads me to a slightly controversial statement within the spiritual community. I do not believe in twin flames. If you follow me, you may know this already. I've said it a couple of times, and if you're a client of mine, you most definitely know it. I don't personally believe in twin flames, and there's a reason for that. Because I believe that we are all mirrors for one another. We are all literally just vessels for the same God, the same universe, the same source energy. This idea that we have to connect with one individual in order to experience that reflection, in order to learn the lessons that we need to learn, in order to have that depth of relationship and have those lessons delivered to us, to say that we need one other human being to do that totally contradicts my whole spiritual belief. Because you could do that with anybody. Anybody can be a mirror for you if you're willing to see them as that. When you're in this place where you've done the self-work and you take full responsibility and you refuse to be in victim mentality, you do recognize that the things that irritate you in other people, the things you see in other people, the things you love in other people are a reflection of what's going on within you. You see that. So from this perspective, this idea that there's only one other individual that you can experience that with actually just makes no sense. It's illogical to me. And I know because I've experienced all of those things that people purport the twin flame connection to embody with multiple people already in my life. I've already experienced that, and I continue to with multiple people. The narrative as well, that it's meant to be hard and it's meant to be toxic, that it's like meant to be like that in order to teach you things, not really here for that. And also the idea that you have this other half, right? I've actually looked into twin flames. I always do my research on things, and there isn't really one viable source. Plato had this theory that humans used to have like four legs and four arms, and then one of the gods like broke them in half or something. It didn't make a lot of sense. It seemed a bit like a Greek myth to me, but it's this idea that, you know, you're two halves of one soul. The idea that you are a half and that you are not totally complete as you are, I have a problem with that. And also, being in romantic relationships is actually a lifestyle choice. Not everybody wants to be in a romantic relationship. So again, to suggest that you are just a half or you're not complete without this other person, codependency red flag for me. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense to me from my spiritually minimalist perspective, from my own connection with God, through my own experiences with people and relationships that I've had. It doesn't make sense to me. And that leads me on to my next sort of point of discussion, which is that it's that codependency that I think is not and never necessary in any relationship in order to use it and to learn from it and to experience it in the best possible way. I do not think dependency is necessary for that. And I actually really believe that detachment is a healthy part of any relationship. Even if you are married to a person and you're committed to a person and you want to be with that person for the rest of your life, amazing. Do I think you need to be attached to that person? Actually, no. And again, this is why the twin flame idea does not sit right with me, to suggest that you are attached to a person and you have no choice in that matter. It totally takes away your personal power, and I'm not here for that. Relationships should not and never take away your personal power. So even when you are in a long-term relationship, when you're in a committed relationship, when you're making decisions together, when you're living together, how much more beautiful is it to think that you are consciously choosing to be together every single day rather than bound by some kind of force that forces you together and means you have to be together, or means that even if you're not together, you're tied together for the rest of eternity. Take your power back. You get to choose, to consciously choose. And it's a luxury and it's a blessing and it's a privilege for people to be in your life and for you to choose them to be with you and to be around you and vice versa. And I don't want you or anyone to ever feel like you don't have the choice to step away from a relationship, to take a break from a relationship, or even to stay in a relationship, but detach yourself from it. Because something that I feel happens often, or I've seen it again, possibly coming back to the validation thing, the worth thing, the maybe being unsure of who you really are, or having that narrative drummed into your mind that being married and in this happy, perfect relationship is the best situation to be in. I see a lot of the time people attach themselves to a relationship and it becomes part of their identity. And this goes beyond relationships. Anytime you attach yourself to something on that level, where you feel like that thing is then a part of you and you identify yourself by that thing, whenever it feels like you are no longer choosing that thing or choosing that relationship, you're in trouble. Because through forming these attachments, you then feel like, in order to be yourself and in order to feel confident and to feel worthy, that you have to have all these elements and all these facets and maybe this relationship that makes you you. And all that does is limit you. Because you then feel, if there was some kind of stirring beneath, if there was something within you that wanted to change that, to do something different, to want to evolve and expand and grow, you would feel like you couldn't, because that would be abandoning who you are. There's that side of it, and then there's the side that shit changes. Shit always changes. The only thing that never changes is the fact that things are always changing, and we don't really own anything. Houses, land, money, material objects, people, we don't own anything. All the kind of systems of ownership that we have in our little human world here that we've made, they mean something to other humans, but they don't mean anything to the earth. You know, think about natural disasters, floods, thunderstorms, whatever happens. Nature doesn't care. Nature doesn't care that that home belongs to you. Nature's not going to reimburse you if it gets flooded. This idea of ownership is very much a human created construct. It's not real. We technically don't own anything, and anything that we believe we own could be taken away at any time. And that goes for relationships in a big way. So when we feel like this relationship is a part of who we are, if that relationship then goes away, if the person leaves, or if you're torn apart, or whatever happens, even if it just changes in a way, even if that person changes, or they start to go through something different, or the situation changes, if you're attached to the way that things are, or if you're identifying yourself by that and it changes, you are then setting yourself up for chaos, for an identity crisis, for a roller coaster of despair and emotion and confusion and desperation and grasping at things. Because if you identify yourself by anything, job, career, house, car, person, relationship, if you identify yourself by anything, if and when that thing leaves or changes, you're left wondering who the fuck you are, because you've placed so much of your worth on those things that when they're no longer there, you think, wow, what the fuck is left? What am I left with? Who am I now? And that's how you then become disconnected from your truth and who you really are and what you really want to be doing. So there are really these two dangers when it comes to attachment in a relationship, as far as I see it. And that is when it leaves you, or when it changes, feeling lost and feeling like you don't know who you are anymore because you place so much of your identity onto that thing. Then the second one, when you feel a call or a pull or a shift to do something different, you block yourself and you keep yourself limited because you feel like that's beyond the confines or the constraints of this relationship, which is so deeply a part of your identity. So this is why I so strongly believe in remaining detached. And I think it's beautiful to be detached and to remind yourself and remember your own worth, your own power, that you don't need anybody else to complete you. They are just there to mirror, to enjoy life with and experience the human thing with. But you do not need them. You never have, you never will, you don't. You don't need them, and they don't need you. And it is so beautiful to consciously choose to be together. And maybe one day you'll wake up and you'll consciously choose to be apart. And that's also beautiful. I actually think this beyond just romantic relationships. I think this with friendships. Detachment does not just apply to things and situations in our lives. It also applies to people and relationships. And this brings me to this idea of forever, of being in a relationship forever. Whatever forever means. If you listen to the last episode, you'll know I think time is a construct. Is time real? We won't go down that rabbit hole at the moment. But whatever forever is, or whatever it means, here is something I actually really strongly believe. We don't need to place expectations on any of our relationships. We get to decide each day, each moment, whether we want to be with someone, whether we want to share our lives with someone, whether they're serving us, and not as in they're serving us and we're above, but also whether we're serving them, whether we're serving each other, and whether we're in a container and we're still learning and we're growing together, or whether we've outgrown that container. And maybe sometimes relationships do just come for a certain amount of time to teach you and show you what you need to receive, and then they reach a point where that's no longer happening, where you've outgrown the situation, where the connection is maybe different than it used to be. And I think because of this attachment that we develop in relationships, often people are then scared to cut loose. But I really strongly believe and encourage in each day and each moment to continually be checking in with yourself and tuning in to whether your relationships are serving you and whether you're serving them. And like I said, whether you're serving each other and whether the container is continuing to grow and expand and you're continuing to explore and you're continuing to learn, or whether you've outgrown it and it's stagnant, and not being afraid to step forward and say, okay, I think this has actually served its purpose. And now we're both ready to step away and do something different. And I see it so much. And I saw it with my own parents. Sometimes, because of this idea that you have to stay together, these relationships go on for so much longer than they were actually meant to, that they become something else. They become negative. They become quote unquote toxic, or you build up all these painful memories of them, and they actually take on this energy. And this is where people tend to put the blame on each other or have difficult endings to relationships, or there's a catalyst because people feel like they can't say it, they feel like they don't want to admit to it or end the relationship, that maybe something happens like infidelity or they act out or violence or something like that, because something within them was stirring but they didn't feel like they could say it. So then the behavior happens as a catalyst on a subconscious level to actually end the relationship, and then it all goes to shit, and then that memory of that relationship is then tainted. I see it happen all the time, and I wonder, can we be more free and accepting and allowing of relationships to just be what they are and to just let them come and teach us and show us what they're supposed to, and then let them go? Some relationships maybe are only supposed to last 6 months. Can we be so tuned in that we can pick up on that moment where the relationship has come to its natural end and end things amicably? And then you get to keep that relationship as that beautiful memory, untainted, in love, came to show you something. There were sacred lessons learned. It was a soul connection and it was all meant to happen. It was divine at the time. But that doesn't mean that you have to then cling to that person for the rest of your life. I'm most certainly not saying that I don't think you can have 50-year-long relationships that are divine, and I totally believe you can have that. But I think also a lot of the times people kind of crave for what things used to be. And even those long-term relationships are going to be constantly changing and evolving, but it should feel like it's evolved to a new level and a new journey, and you can look back on the earlier times with love and with nostalgia, and that it was perfect for that time and what you're going through now is perfect for this time. But if you're in this state of thinking, oh, I wish things were how they used to be, things aren't as good as that anymore, I wish it was how it was before, maybe it was meant to end a while ago. Just because something is blissful and truly feels soul-driven and passionate and loving and sexually fulfilling and all of those things for a time doesn't mean that it always will be. And that's okay. That's okay, and it's beautiful. Can we lean into this and be able to allow relationships and connections and soul connections to just be what they are, and have the self-awareness and self-respect and commitment to our own growth and evolution to actually recognize when those relationships' time is up? You can love someone and still let them go. I'll say it again. You can love someone and still let them go. Sometimes that's the real love, being able to separate when you know that it's time. So as I said, this isn't always the case. I believe in long-term relationships. I believe in marriages that last a lifetime. I believe in that. As long as you're continually checking in and listening to these feelings and knowing that you're growing and evolving together, not feeling like when you have a connection with somebody that you need to cling to it, because all that will do is stifle it. Just let it be what it is. And if it does end up being a long-term thing and you choose to be partners in life, which is beautiful, keeping that detachment always, because otherwise you won't be able to see where you may have grown differently, to see the things that you need to continually be aware of for your own growth and evolution. So keeping that detachment always, and reminding yourself that you do not need anyone. Even if you've been with someone for 20 years, they're the father of your kids, maybe they pay all your bills, you still don't need them at any point. You are free to choose every single day, every single moment. Take your power back. All right, so now that we're in this place of pure power and self-worth and inner knowing that you're complete and that God moves through you and that you are everything you need to be and you have access to everything that you need, now I want to talk about how you can attract relationships that are going to serve you, that are going to help you grow, that are going to help you evolve, and that are going to be a beautiful experience, whether they last 10 years, whether they last 10 months or 10 days, it doesn't even matter. The impact can be the same over any length of time, because you know my opinions on time. But now I want to talk about how you can actually attract those. And that starts with the basic belief that you attract and manifest every relationship in your life. You attract it, you manifest it, it comes to you. You are constantly manifesting, always. Manifestation gets thrown around a lot, that word, to manifest money or houses or anything like that. But what we often forget is that we are continually manifesting. Just by being, just by thinking, just by feeling, whatever shows up in our reality, we have manifested it. Your current situation, whether you say it's what you want it to be or not, you have manifested it. So we've got to start with that basic understanding and be able to take ownership for that and take full responsibility for where you're at, what your experience is like, because you've continued to manifest the relationships that you also allow space for and engage with. So how do you attract healthy ones? How do you attract the ones that are gonna make you feel something new, that are gonna help you grow and help you evolve? By focusing on yourself. Whenever people come to me asking about relationships or how can I attract my soulmate, all you got to do is focus on yourself and show up to the level that you want the other person to show up at. You've got to be making moves. You've got to be showing up as your best self. You've got to be putting yourself first, and you've got to be loving the shit out of yourself. If you don't love yourself deeply, to your core, if you aren't treating yourself how you want to be treated, you will attract and manifest somebody who doesn't either. You have got to rise up and meet the kind of relationship that you want. And that starts by treating yourself how you want to be treated by somebody else in a relationship. Because we do not attract what we want. We can't just kind of sit here and write out a list of all these things that we expect from another person and just affirm and manifest and wish and welcome that in without doing that work ourselves. You can't just say you want something and then it will be delivered to you. That's not how manifestation works. We do not attract what we want, we attract what we are. So you could write a list. You could write a list of all the things that you want from another person in a relationship. And then what you should do with that list is become all those things. Make it your priority to show up as the person that you want to manifest in your life. And on a very tangible level, consider your environment. Consider where you're going. If the places that you go day to day, if the place that you live, you feel like isn't aligned with your soul, move, go somewhere else. I often feel like even intuitively, we can sense when there's nobody really around that we feel a connection with or that we're gonna match with. And if the environments that you're continually putting yourself in day to day, week to week, don't really align with your purpose or with what sets your soul on fire, you're probably not gonna make deep, deep connections there. You've got to go to places that make you feel, that inspire you, that allow you and encourage you to be your best self, because that's where you're going to meet other people on that same wavelength and on that same vibration. Okay, so quick story comes to mind. From 18 to now, so that's 7 years, I've pretty much been continually traveling, exploring the world, getting a feel for things, gaining wider perspectives and understanding myself better. And I actually take this approach that I've already spoken about being detached. Go to somewhere and enjoy it and take it in. And each day I would wake up and feel into whether I wanted to stay there. And I never really had a long-term plan of how long I would stay in any of these places until one day I would wake up and I didn't want to be there anymore. If you're trying to decide and overthinking and weighing up pros and cons of whether you should do something, strip it all back, make it really simple and think, do I want to do this today? Do I want to be with this person today? If the answer is yes, stay. If the answer is no, leave. There's no point stressing about a future that doesn't exist yet. So I was continually going from place to place, and then I found my soul home. By soul home, I just mean where my soul feels most at home and where I feel like I want to settle. And I found myself there by accident, discovered it, and I felt it instantly that it was, you know, my soul home and where I was meant to be. So I knew, right, I've got to elevate, I've got to go there. And I've never really made relationships a priority, I'll be honest with you. They've never been the focal point of my life because I've been doing other stuff. But I knew that by going there, I would even be able to attract some more interesting connections, not just romantic relationships. I've met some of my best friends, who I'm still best friends with, and some of the most amazing work connections and people that I've learned from since I moved to my soul home. By putting myself there, I cultivated these really deep soul connections that I still have now. And I knew that would happen because it was a place that aligned with me and it was a place that made me feel something. This isn't about chasing or looking. You don't need to chase people. You don't need to go out looking for relationships. You just need to live your best fucking life. And by being out there and doing the things that really align with you and really feel wonderful for you and being in environments that make you feel most connected to source, you will attract the right people to you. You don't need to look for them. You don't need to chase them. They will come to you by you simply being there and by loving on yourself, by treating yourself like you want them to treat you. You have got to rise up to meet the energetic frequency of the kind of relationship that you want to have. You have to. You cannot wait for the person to come and rescue you. If you want to attract somebody who's ambitious and makes a lot of money, you've got to be ambitious and make a lot of money. If you want to attract somebody who really takes care of themselves or who really enjoys traveling, you've got to really take care of yourself, or you've got to be traveling. You can't wait for somebody to come and deliver all these things to you and to save you. You can't wait for that. You have to save yourself. You have to put yourself first. You have to treat yourself like somebody you love. And that is how you will manifest deep soul connections, by doing things and being places that make your soul come alive. And what you can also be sure of when you're coming from this place is that you are not using the relationship for validation. You're not using it for your self-worth, because you're coming at it from a place of self-worth. You're knowing how much you're worth. You're knowing your own value, and you're attracting somebody else on the same level so that you can be fucking amazing together, rather than feeling like you need the validation from another person to make you feel better. When you're coming from this place of living your best life and fucking loving everything that you're doing and putting yourself in wonderful environments continually, you know that you're seeking that relationship, or I don't really like the word seeking. You know that you've attracted that relationship for the right reason. If you're in a relationship because you need validation or you want attention, question whether it's really a good use of your energy, and always be tapped in and tuned in, regardless of how long you've been with someone, as to whether you're continuing to grow and continuing to evolve together. I do believe in soul connections. I don't believe in twin flames, being bound to one person, but I do believe in quote unquote soulmates. I just don't believe you have a single soulmate. I think you can have friend soulmates and family soulmates and romantic ones. That's why I prefer to call them soul connections. Do I think we have those? 100%. When you connect with someone and it's like you already know them, it's like they're already your family, you have some kind of soul level understanding with another person. Where I think that comes from, this is an idea that makes me feel really at peace, that sometimes you are with someone in another reality, that we are connected with these people in a different capacity or a different way in another reality. So this comes back as well to those short relationships that I think we should all embrace, those short containers of relationships, that if we're willing to accept that they're only meant to be for a short time can be really beautiful and really teach us something and go really deep and still be a soul connection. And maybe you'll never actually see that person again, but it doesn't mean that they're not a soul connection. And I love to think that we're actually together in another reality. And that's why you instantly recognize somebody in this reality or this lifetime and you feel that soul connection with them. That's kind of my theory on that. And then the last thing that I just want to touch on, because I think maybe this actually deserves its own episode and its own space to be fully explored, because there's a lot to it. Here's what I'm going to say on sex and its role within relationships. Going right back to the beginning, what I said about other people being mirrors and reflectors and just a way for us to see clearly through into the same universe that exists within us, I believe that sex is just another way of doing that, but a deeper way of doing it. A really deep, soulful, and sacred connection, because it involves more vulnerability, it involves more surrender, it's art, it's creation, it's pleasure, it's exploration through the union. It is like a sacred union or a holy communion. Through that, you get to create this universal loop where you're physically connected. And through that connection, it's like you bridge that gap. It's like God, the universe moves through you, through them, and all the way around again in a loop. Actively meditating, moving, experiencing, and just being one with the universe. And it's this really beautiful balance because it's a very human merging together. Obviously, sex is procreation, so it's a very human merging. But at the same time, it's like you transcend your human just for a moment. And it's like this beautiful reminder that we are all one and that the same God and the same universe moves through us all, because you can feel it coming from you and you can also feel it coming back from them. Essentially, a meditation and a journey and a transcension and a reconnection with Source, with God, allowing it to move through you and to come back to you through another person. Those are my overarching thoughts. That's what I feel about it. But there's obviously so much more to talk about and explore when it comes to sex. So I think at one point in the future, I'll probably do a whole episode dedicated to that. But that's how I see it playing a role in the relationships that we have. All relationships, including the ones that aren't going to last very long, even if they're only going to last one night. If that's a connection that you feel you want to cultivate from a place of self-love and self-worth, because it's something you want to invite for yourself and experience and have that pleasure, yes. If you're seeking it for validation or to prove your worth, maybe not. But all kinds of relationships should be led by you intuitively doing what feels right for you. And if you feel like you want to cultivate a sexual connection with someone, I implore you to do it, regardless of how long you think it's going to last or trying to overthink or put any kind of expectations on that relationship. Even if a relationship is purely sexual, we know that the universe doesn't always communicate in words or actions or affirmations. It communicates in energy and feelings. And maybe sometimes you just want to have that physical or energetic feeling relationship with someone. Overarchingly, just know that you are enough and you don't need anybody else. And you get to consciously choose who is in your life on a day-to-day basis. And you get to live in love and you get to continue to grow and evolve. And all of the relationships in your life just get to be a container for that growth. And they get to show you things about yourself. They get to give you higher perspectives and gift you with a richer experience and a greater understanding of yourself and of the human experience and of what love really feels like. Ultimately, one of the best things, arguably the best thing that we get from relationships, is that it increases our capacity to love. So I invite you to live in that love and to elevate yourself and your life and your experience so that you can rise up and meet those truly rich, deep soul connections where they are. Allow them to be what they are. Allow them to end when they end. And remember that we are all just human expressions of something much greater. So every connection gets to be divine if you want it to be.